It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Okay, let's catch you up to date on everything that has happened as far as the President of the United States. We know that he wanted a border wall at $25 to $30 billion. That's not going to happen. Then he wanted $5 billion. Not going to happen. He will probably sign something that gives him $1.3 billion. So knowing that Congress isn't giving the president the money he wants for the U.S.-Mexico wall, Trump today announced that he'll take matters into his own hands using an emergency declaration and executive action to get him the money he wants to build the wall.
$8 billion. 250 miles.
So is this going to stop? Because, again, what he says is we need a wall to protect us from drugs, trafficking, crime, all the bad stuff that is happening, quote unquote, on the border. Mm-hmm. With this wall, this will all stop it. Is this a good idea? Is it really going to work? Let's talk to John Cohen, former DHS counterterrorism coordinator in D.C. John, thanks for joining us today. We know you've been really busy.
Yeah, nice to be with you guys.
Good to have you, John. You like this idea? You don't like the wall? What do you think?
Well, look, here's what bothers me. I'm the first to admit, you know, having worked under then-Governor Napolitano as the Homeland Security Advisor in Arizona, and having worked in the Office of National Drug Control Policy, having worked as an undercover police officer in California working narcotics, I'm very aware of the public safety and security challenges at the border. And we have to have good border security. Mm-hmm. What bothered me listening to the Rose Garden ceremony today, or the Rose Garden address today, was that much of the information that the president was putting forth to justify his declaring a national emergency so he could take funds from other accounts to pay for the wall was just simply inaccurate and contradicted by information coming from his own intelligence community, his own Department of Homeland Security, and his own Justice Department.
Can you give us one example of where he went wrong?
Yeah, I can give you multiple examples.
All right.
One, in contrast to what the president said, as you pointed out earlier, the overwhelming majority of illegal drugs coming into the country from the South come either through the ports of entry, concealed in passenger vehicles or legitimate cargo. They come through the Caribbean or Pacific transit zones, or, as we just learned through the recent prosecution of the head of the Sinaloa drug cartel, they come, in addition to the ways I just mentioned, via airplane, tunnels, or other mechanisms.
Okay.
Most of the drugs, aside from some of the low-grade marijuana that comes into Arizona through from Mexico, all the other major drug categories clearly are coming in through the ports of entries or through the Pacific and Caribbean transit zones. And that comes not only from most recent data from Customs and Border Protection, but also the Drug Enforcement Administration. Another fact that the president put forth, or another piece of information the president put forth, was that that there are hordes of criminals coming across the border each and every day. It's an invasion, he said. But the most recent statistics from Customs and Border Protection reflected that in 2018, out of all the Border Patrol apprehensions, both at the northern border and the southern border, 2%, around 2% were criminals, which meant 98% of the people that Border Patrol apprehended were not criminals. And that supports what we're hearing from the State Department, which is in the intelligence community, which is that the vast majority of individuals seeking to come to the United States from Central America or from south of the border are coming here to escape violence and to escape or to find better economic opportunities.
Mm. Oh, boy.
There's John.
John Cohen, former DHS counterterrorism coordinator, talking about Trump declaring a national emergency. John, I'm not frustrated with you at all. I am just so frustrated by there's no way that this man, the president, is relying on old data, correct? There's no way he's looking at old data and just suddenly it's turned into the ports of entry, right?
No, because I actually went back and looked at some prior DEA intelligence reporting. And I go back to my own experience. I mean, I worked narcotics in the 80s and early 90s.
So why is
we were working.
Well, I guess why is he not listening to people who are telling him this is the way it is? I just don't understand either the lack of information, the disinformation, or the gaslighting, because people are going to believe him. And unfortunately, there are people who are going to believe him.
Right.
And this is just not the case. He's not going to solve the problem. This is a crisis looking for an emergency, not an emergency crisis. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable.
Well, it's even more troubling than that, and what you said was pretty troubling. The problem is, and we see it in the emergency declaration and the executive order, if you look at where they're pulling this, you know, in order to pay for the wall, you have to take money from other sources, because we only have a finite amount of resources
right.
that can be used for border security.
And we already have massive debt. We already have over a trillion-dollar debt.
But just look at what's being proposed today. They're taking monies away from the asset forfeiture funds, $600 million, to help pay for the wall. Well, what would that $600 million be used otherwise for? It would go to federal, state, local law enforcement so they can conduct narcotics investigations, either of traffickers in Latin America or of violent drug traffickers in our cities across the country. State and local law enforcement, I know many in Arizona, rely on those asset forfeiture funds to help fund their investigative or offset their investigative expenses. He's also looking to divert funds that are used by the military for drug interdiction. And that means it pays for intelligence, it pays for flights to support ships out in the ocean who are actually interdicting multi-ton quantities of illegal drugs coming into the country. So it's not just that we're justifying a political agenda by overstating the threat. The problem is that it's calling for the diversion of resources from effective operational programs that are used to protect this country from an influx of drugs, and instead putting those funds applying those funds to build a barrier which at best will only have a marginal impact of the in preventing drugs and criminals from coming into the country.
Wow. All right, John
wow.
Cohen is joining us, former Department of Homeland Security Counterterrorism Coordinator. Okay, so we know that Trump declared a national emergency to fund the wall, 8 billion, 235 miles of wall. You've made a pretty good argument about drugs, and maybe the wall won't help the drugs stop from pouring in. Let me make this argument, though. Putting up walls, barriers, wouldn't it stop people? Well, it's like, you know, you mentioned Janet Napolitano. She famously said something of, you know, you have a 50-foot wall, you get a 51-foot ladder. I totally get that. But if you do put walls up, doesn't it slow down people from getting over it and running into our country? If you do put a wall up, couldn't it stop people from sneaking in because the Border Patrol could get out there? And as these, you know, people are trying to sneak over and climb the wall, it gives the Border Patrol time to get out there and watch them come down and then arrest them. I mean, couldn't you make an argument that the wall would work in terms of caravans coming in or people illegally trying to get in?
Yeah, there's no doubt that in select areas along the border, barriers are an important part of our border security efforts. But having worked the border for so many years, what I have learned over those three decades is that smugglers, human smugglers and drug smugglers, look at what we're doing from a security perspective and then figure out strategies to get around it. So, one, you have people that will tunnel under barriers, or they will, as they are beginning to increasingly do, they will use the same routes that drug smugglers are using, like the Caribbean and the Pacific transit zones. Coast Guard last year had a significant increase in human, migrant interdictions in the Pacific Ocean. Why? Because the smugglers know that there's more focus on the land border, so they're going to start using the sea borders. Mm. So the point is, effective border security, and just so there's no mistake out there, you know, I'm a law enforcement person. I'm a homeland security person. I'm not an immigrant advocate. I'm not somebody who advocates for privacy and civil liberty rights. I mean, I've been in law enforcement my entire career. And we need to have effective security at the border. And effective security comes from barriers where they make sense, good technologies in the remote areas and at the ports of entry that can detect drugs concealed in cargo, adequate number of law enforcement personnel working along the border so that they can adapt to how the smugglers are changed their methods of operation, and good intelligence. So we know what the smugglers are doing, so we know what the drug traffickers are doing, and we can apply our resources in a smart way to deal with them. My concern is that people are being sold or being false expectations are being created that we're going to declare a national emergency, we're going to fund a border wall, and we're going to solve illegal immigration and drug trafficking. And I can tell you, after 34 years, that's just not the case.
John Cohen, former DHS counterterrorism coordinator. Great information, John. Thank you so much.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too. So Trump looking for his wall, $8,235,000,000, as he declared a national emergency. You know, will it help stop drugs? Will it help, you know, turn caravans around? Will it help curb illegal immigration, trafficking? You know, there are arguments on both sides, man. I mean, John Cohen makes a great argument about that it's not going to do much to help curb the drug problem.
Right. He's talking about active interdiction that's going on now. Don't take the money away from that to build a wall. Yikes.
Still like the wall. I still like part of the wall.
God.
I do.
Oh, my God.
Still liking in certain
you
parts.
You realize that the amount of wall is only 12% of the entire border.
Well, we have a lot of wall.
250 miles of this stuff.
Well, we have a lot of wall already. It's a 2,000-mile wall.
According to him, we don't have enough. I mean, that's the other part that people don't understand either. We already have barriers and walls that are up.
And we are.
Why not improve upon them? Why do you got to build new stuff?
Well, because some of those walls are already built and they don't need to be rebuilt. And there are some places on the border where you should have a wall and there isn't a wall. And I think that's where they want to build that wall. Different parts of the border.
Yeah.
All right. We'll continue to dig through this as Trump is looking like he's going to build his wall. All right. Coming up next, does digital detox curb your phone addiction? You know, a lot of people are addicted to their phones, but what happens when you go through this digital detox? You know, there are actually people that are saying, oh, my phone screen, you know, gets close to 10%. I'm going to start freaking out. Does detox work?
A digital detox is exactly what it sounds like. Removing yourself from digital life for an extended period of time, allowing your body to wean itself off all of that stimulation and rebalance itself. Side effects may include increased energy, increased productivity, and actually reconnecting with the people that you love and care about in your real life.
Okay. So you go through that.
Yep. Does it cure your phone addiction?
Or is going through digital detox like going through like drug rehab?
No. Research shows that as you interact with your screens, whether you're checking your email, scrolling through your feed, or playing a game, that your brain gets flooded with dopamine. That's the same hormone that floods your brain when you use drugs like heroin.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, digital detox is if you have an alcoholic.
Yeah.
A detox is when you just dry out.
Dry out, yeah.
You don't drink.
Right.
But
it's hard.
But when you go into rehab, not only do you not drink, but you learn how to cope without alcohol. So this is the same thing. People are digitally detoxing.
Cold turkey.
They're going cold turkey, but they don't know how to deal with, well, if I go back and use my phone, I'll be cured. Right? No, you're not cured.
And unfortunately, the result is just as addictive. So if you get panicky, anxious, or cranky when someone takes away your smartphone or when your battery dies, you may have a problem.
So what do you do? Digital
well, you
detox?
You have to treat it as a rehabilitation. You have to treat it as a drug or alcohol problem.
An addiction that's zapping our energy and impacting our quality of life. Well, only you know for sure if you're addicted to your screens, but if you are, or you just want to live life in real life for a moment, it might be time for a digital detox.
I don't agree with that. I don't think half the people who really do have a problem know they have a problem because the phone is so ubiquitous and most people have one and they use it and they use it for work. They may say, I can't go without my phone. Ha, ha, ha. But they may not realize they have a true problem. So when you do go through the digital detox, you might suffer the same way an addict suffers because you're literally going cold turkey for this stuff, but you're not dealing with the problem. So, like this woman said, when you go back to it, it could make it even worse.
1 in 3 people said their usage of the phone went up after going through the digital detox.
Right.
So they went through it, and then they got their phone, and then it's like a drug addict.
Exactly.
I want more drugs.
I want another hit. I want another hit. I want another hit. That's the dopamine.
I don't think Steve Jobs thought this could ever happen.
No. Bill Gates, yeah, he saw this totally. But Steve Jobs, no.
No. I think he'd be horrified. We just can't. We cannot go anywhere without our phone.
Remember,
we really can't.
Remember, we found out he did not want us to use our phones in the way we use them now.
No.
He wanted it to be more of a companion, not a sole focus thing.
Yep, yep. So digital detox, will it curb your phone addiction? Some say it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up next, you know the Glendale man who was tased 11 times, once in the groinal area? He tried suing the Glendale the city of Glendale, for millions and millions of dollars. Here's what we'd like to do. We'd like you to call us at 277-5827. If this happened to you, how much would you ask for? What's the price that you put on?
So if you were tased 11 times, once in the groin.
Right. How much money would you ask for? We're going to see if your dollar figures line up with the Glendale man's dollar figure. So we've got that figure from the Glendale man. But what would you ask for if you got tased 11 times? 602-277-5827. Next.
Drive home informed and entertained. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos on KTAR News 92.3 FM.
All right, text the word teacher to 411-923 as Mac and Gatos pay tribute to a teacher. We love recognizing top teachers in Arizona. With $1,000, we're going to nominate another teacher coming up. So get that nomination in. Text the word teacher to 411-923.
Okay, so we know the situation with the Glendale Police Department and a Glendale officer tasing a guy 11 times, once in the groin at the end. The Glendale man who was tased, apparently, he told the city of Glendale, I'll settle for this amount of money.
Right.
Okay, so we now have the figure. We'll tell you what the figure is in a second. But, I mean, if this happened to you, how much would you ask for? So we asked you to call 277-5827. You get tased 11 times. How much are you suing Glendale for? We'll see what you say, and then we'll tell you what this guy tried suing Glendale for.
All right, first up is Andrew. You're in Buckeye. How much, Andrew?
I'm not a greedy man. I'd settle $1 million, maybe $2 million. But, of course, I'm going to ask for more.
So you ask for more, see if you can get $1 or $2 mil.
I'm not a greedy man. Working in the law enforcement community for the past decade, I've been tased 4 times back to back to back. That's a rough day.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine taking 11, especially one to the groin.
What does it feel? What does it feel like when you get tased?
Every time you hear that tap 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 tap, you're getting hit with a baseball bat.
It's that.
Newer models, they rotate, they cycle faster. So it feels like you're getting hit over and over and over.
So it's not like you're getting electrocuted or anything. It actually feels like someone's whacking you with a bat.
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
Okay. And you were tased.
Locks up your muscles.
You were tased.
It's rough.
You were tased 4 times in a row or 4 times on the job?
Both.
Both. That's lovely. Jeez.
I want to give you $2 million right now.
Exactly.
Just
why
for that?
Not? Jeez. All right, Mike in Peoria. Mike, how much would you ask for?
I would ask the city for court costs plus $1 because I've been working with law enforcement for 25 years, communication technician. There's a lot of good guys out there. No reason for all of them to have to pay for. However, once I won the case, I would sue the individual and take money out of his check the rest of the time he's working.
So, okay.
So not the city, not the Glendale PD.
So when you saw this video, you didn't think there was a problem with what the police did?
Oh, yeah. And that's who needs to be reprimanded. That's who needs to be punished. And whoever isn't training him.
Got it.
I would go up the ladder.
I got it. All right. I got it.
Right. It wouldn't be the whole city or the whole police department, just the one individual.
277-KTAR, how much would you ask for if you get tased in the groin?
All right. Megan, you are in Florence. Megan, how much would you ask for?
I would ask for $10 million because of the 10 extra times they tased the guy.
Would you tase him for the one time in the groin? I mean, jeez.
Well, you earned one of them. They don't tase you for nothing. You earned the one.
Okay.
But 11 is excessive. So, you know, you ask for 10, negotiate down to 5. After taxes, you take 3.
Boy, Megan, sounds like you've done
really
this before.
This
yeah,
really
you really
thought it out.
Yeah, have you ever been tased or ever sued anybody before?
Neither. It's just.
Well, I mean, you sound like an old
just
hat
business.
At it.
It's just business.
It's just business? Is that right. What you said? Jeez. It's just business. I want 10. I'll take 5. I'll get 2 back in after taxes.
All right. So pretty interesting. Anywhere from $1 million to $1 to $10 million. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'm surprised, too. Not a lot of people asked for a lot of money. We had a couple of people that said $1. They, you know, again, he was wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to be tased like that, but I'd only ask for $1 and make sure, like, my kids were taken care of because his kids witnessed all this, make sure they were taken care of. Not a lot of people would say, I'd say like $1 million, $100 million. I'd just throw a fat number out there, $100 mil.
Why not?
Yeah. I'll settle for like 5.
Why not?
Right.
The city of Glendale said that. The guy who got tased 11 times came to them and said, I will settle for $15 million. So in December of 2018, let me read the city of Glendale statement. In December 2018, prior to the plaintiff shopping their story to the media, they offered to settle with the city for the absurd amount of $15 million. Glendale's fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of Glendale has limited our ability to engage on the specifics of this incident, and we are unwilling to litigate it in the media. Okay, so Glendale says he asked for $15 million, and we said no.
And it was something like it was insulting or something. Like they really dismissed
it.
Absurd. They really dismissed it. And I'm like, 15?
All right.
The guy should have asked for 50.
All right, but how much should he get?
Well, again, his kids and his wife are going to need counseling. He could have medical bills the rest of his life from this. I would say $30 million.
$30
million.
You think he deserves $30 million?
Didn't say that.
Okay.
I said to take care of his medical bills and especially take care of his kids who are traumatized and his wife basically witnessed all this.
Oh, you mean his wife who punched the cop out?
Trying to defend him, yes.
Well, I shouldn't say that. She hit him with something.
She hit him with something and knocked him out. But yeah, $30 million.
Oh, I you know what? I don't know what number I would give. I don't know. I have no idea. Like,
I'd want to know his medical history and all that, too.
But,
yeah.
But you know what? Listen, I've said it from the beginning that the police should not have tased the guy 11 times, A, okay? They should move on to something different to try and get the guy down. But B, you tase a guy in the groin. Well, the cop is completely wrong there.
Correct.
But I don't think I'd give this guy anything because he really didn't comply. He was still moving around after 11 tases.
Wouldn't you be after, you know, somebody tases you and puts a chicken wing hold on you?
I would just guess I wouldn't move at all. That's just me, but I don't know. And by the way, his wife knocked the police officer out, so we're gonna give this family millions and millions of dollars and reward them. No.
I don't know if it's going to be a reward because he'll go through it in 6 months. I mean, he'll be broke in 6 months because he doesn't know how to handle anything.
There's another reason why you don't give him anything.
But my point is, if it were me, I'd ask for $30 million, but I'm not him.
Yeah. He asked for 15. I wouldn't pay him 15. I'd let this thing go to court, and I'd fight him. I don't think he did everything wrong,
but I don't think
he did everything right.
If you fight him, though, there's a chance that then they discover something else at Glendale PD. I mean, you take that chance.
I'm not letting him walk out with $15 million. There's just no way. There's no way. There were a lot of people involved in this situation who screwed up, including this guy, including the cop, including the wife. I mean, my goodness.
There's enough blame to go around.
Yes.
But
I'm not going to give him a big old reward.
I don't see it as a reward.
Away. I do. I think you're rewarding bad behavior. You get paid every day, Mac, and that is rewarding bad behavior, if you ask me.
Let the general manager take that up. Yeah, that's great.
All right, we still have the Big Four at 4 to come. 4 big blockbuster stories starting at 4:05. But up next, why are schools turning to facial recognition and vape detectors next?
Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You know, we've got a gentleman on the station, Paulie. He does the sports in the morning. With Jim Sharp.
My boy, Paul Calvisi.
Should we start taking something from Paul and the Big Four at 4? Should we call the big four at 4? like Calvisi would say.
No, I hate this idea.
No? You don't like it?
I don't know
it?
Why you're bringing up a bad idea on the air. We have precious air
you
time.
You bring up one every day
no,
on the
I
air.
Don't.
Are you kidding me?
I keep this show running.
Build a wall, like Colin Kaepernick play.
Let's build a wall.
Atmospheric river ain't gonna do nothing to us.
We
I mean,
only
my
have 4
goodness.
Hours, and you're talking about Calvisi. I think it's a big mistake.
Well, I think it's
there.
A good idea to actually, you know, maybe use something of his from the morning show. Big 4, you know, at 4.
I have to sneeze.
Well, go ahead. Turn off your mic. Turn your head. Do the vampire, you know. Look up at the lights. Look up at the lights.
We got 3 lights out in this room.
Yeah, I know. I know. Get engineering on that. No, look up at a bright light or look up at the sun.
It's gone. It passed.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Can we talk about something different, please?
Sure. Big 4 at 4 is coming up at 4 o'clock.
Boy, you just wasted a full 60 seconds of valuable airtime. Why don't we talk about vaping?
Vaping?
Vaping.
I don't like vaping.
I know you don't like vaping, but it's a problem in schools. It's a problem with kids.
E-cigarettes among youth has skyrocketed nationwide.
One Valley school, though, noticed the dangerous trend, and they did something about it, adding vape detectors in their bathrooms.
Interesting. Okay, so we know that vaping is a problem. We know that kids do it all the time.
It is.
We know that they sneak it in class, and, you know, it's hard to detect. It's hard to... You could do it so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So... with this detection in bathrooms, is that a good start?
This is at the Kyrene Apprendes Middle School here in Chandler. Now, this school is the first in the state to install this type of technology. And according to the school's principal, vaping has become a major issue.
Oh, my God.
Last year, we started to have a lot of students kind of have vape or being reported to us that they had vape. And since then... it's just multiplied. So this year, almost on a weekly basis, sometimes daily, we have a report of students vaping.
The main place some students at Apprende Middle School are using their e-cigarettes or vape pens is in the bathrooms.
Mm. So like, you know, when we were kids and we were in school, you know,
smoking in the boys' room.
Smoking in the bathroom, yeah.
Or right. Outside somewhere on... In my high school, it was called the ramp. It wasn't really an actual ramp. It was an outdoor area that a lot of the burnouts,
yeah.
They would go out there, and I'd go out there, and we'd talk about music and stuff. And you want one? No, it's disgusting. It's gross, but you've got the new Metallica album, and I don't have it yet.
So you just breathe it in secondhand.
So I was breathing in secondhand smoke like all the other losers.
Not smart,
and,
man.
No. But the problem with this is the kids think vaping is like better than cigarettes, and they're not. They're different than cigarettes,
yeah.
But you can still it's still bad for
and
you.
They like it because it's new technology.
That's true, too.
That according to principal Renee Corey.
Well, the students know the bathrooms are the only places that don't have cameras.
The Kyrene School District has decided to get ahead of the problem by installing these vape detectors in the 7th and 8th grade boys and girls bathrooms at Apprende.
I think that's pretty interesting because most schools now with security, you've got to deal with cameras, guards, you know.
One way in, one way out.
Yeah, yeah. And there are cameras all over most schools, but...
But you can't do it in the bathroom.
Have a camera in the bathroom.
Right.
I think this is a good idea.
But how does
it
work?
Well...
I mean, a vape detector, how does it detect something? I don't know.
It's got to be like a smoke detector.
But
you
it
know?
Doesn't. Well,
maybe
that,
an alarm will go
thing.
Off. Maybe
that's
an alarm thing. Goes off. I
but
don't
it's
know.
Not. It's not smoke. It's not real smoke. It's some kind of vapor. So
well, I understand that. Yeah. But I'm just saying the detector could be very similar to like a smoke alarm. Something
just
goes
put a
off.
Dog in there. Put a dog in there.
Put
when it smells something, just bark.
Put a dog in there.
Yeah. Oh, and the kids will love it. Are you kidding me?
You have no answers today on this show.
Don't need them. Not my job, Junior.
Coming up next, we've got the big 4
I'm
at
out.
4. You've been out for 2 hours.
Yeah.
We got the big 4 at 4. 4 big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.